now it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, with Ahsoka captured by Hondo's pirates, the younglings work together to infiltrate the pirates' den, using their wits and courage to deceive Hondo and launch a daring rescue. There will be Obi-Wan and Grievous facing off again, the circus, and Hondo is flying! We're talking about Bound for Rescue this week. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good.
Doing good? Real good?
Getting my Grievy on this week, right?
I totally forgot he was in the episode, and then he showed up, and I was like, oh, yeah! Because, like,
me too.
These young lady episodes,
I think you mentioned it maybe last week or the week before you mentioned that he was coming up, because I remember, like, seeing it going,
doesn't
oh,
mean
yeah.
I remember that I mentioned it.
Yeah, I don't remember things 15 minutes ago. I won't remember what we were talking about before we were recording by the end of this recording.
We were talking about Black Panther and Rebels.
Yeah. None of
but
which you
decided,
get to know about.
We decided not to talk about Rebels because we don't want to spoil anything for anybody. So. Oh my gosh, guys, I need to tell you a story. And Chris knows the end of this story. So
I know,
I
know the twist on this one.
The twist. And I'm not going to. He's not going to ruin the story. So. As you guys know, I've been reading from a certain point of view. I've just been reading a little bit at a time and stuff like that. And I need to pull up these numbers. MSE-6. Okay. So I got to this story called Of MSE-6 and Men. And MSE-6 is the little mouse droids that, like, run around the Death Star. And, like, Chewie runs up to one and he roars at it and it runs away. That's what we're talking about. And as I'm reading the story, this story is from the point of view of the mouse droid. So a lot of it is just running through its own protocols. But as it's running through its protocols, it's recording stuff because that's part of what it does. And this mouse droid has a stormtrooper named TK-421 who takes care of it. And the stormtrooper at one point had his helmet off. And he was telling the mouse droid about his dreams, how he wants to go to Coruscant and be like a droid racer and stuff like that. And the mouse droid's just recording it because it's a droid and it's just doing its protocol. Well, while the mouse droid is out running about the Death Star, it accidentally runs into an officer. And the officer is just like, ah. But like when the mouse droid runs into it, it slightly damages it and it starts playing back the recording of 421 talking about his dreams. And at the time, 421 wasn't wearing his helmet when he was telling the mouse droid all this. And the officer looks at the stormtrooper and goes, he's beautiful. And I was just like sitting there and I put the book down. I'm like, did an Imperial officer male guy just call another man in Star Wars beautiful? Oh my god! And I'm like freaking out. So I'm like, oh my god, oh my god, I found a gay! I found a gay in Star Wars! I found a gay! And so I'm reading the story, and the
C-3PO's
so like
C-3PO's been there the whole time, Hope.
Oh, doesn't count. And so the officer takes the mouse droid back to his office, and he's like fixing it because it got damaged in the mild collision. And he tells the mouse droid, he's like, I want you to take a message back to your repair guy, your stormtrooper, mm-hmm. and tell him that I want him to come to my office. And he, like, I don't remember the exact words, but it's insinuating, I want him to come to my office for fun time. And the mouse droid goes back to his stormtrooper, and the stormtrooper watches the message, and he's just like, huh, okay, oh, butch myself up then. He's like, no, no, let me, I'm gonna play the country boy side of this. I'm gonna, so he like records a message on the mouse dry, and he was just like, sir, country folk like me don't know anything about city folks. I am so honored that you want me to see you and stuff like that. And wow, I'll be up there as soon as I can. Just let me take a shower. And he sends the mouse droid back. The mouse droid goes back to the Imperial officer. And he's just like, cool. So the mouse droid is observing, like, 421. And he comes to this officer's office. And the officer is like, I need you to remove your armor because you're covered in grease. You can put it over there by the bed. And I'm just sitting here going, oh my god! There's gays and Star Wars! And like, and then there's like little jumps in the mouse droid's memory because they keep turning it on and off. And what they start doing is they make a new protocol in this mouse droid. So it will take a message to each other. And, but as soon as it delivers the message, it will erase the message. And so time has passed. I think it's like several weeks. It might be a couple months. And it turns out that the stormtrooper and this Imperial officer are having an affair on the Death Star, and I'm freaking out because I'm like, this is canon, this book is canon, there's gays in Star Wars, I'm so happy. And then again, like, there's a part where 421 is sitting there and he's talking to the master, and he's like, you know, like, he comes off as really icy and cold, but he has so much stress on his shoulders, but little friend, like, he tells me things, like, I make him laugh, and I can make him laugh so hard. And he tells me the silliest things. Like, he's so silly when you get those walls down. And I really, he has all these dreams for him and me. Like, we're going to live on Coruscant together. Yeah, he has all these dreams, and I'm really happy. And so the mouse droid goes back to the officer, and the officer is just like, I've had a really great day. We had this great test. You could say that it's explosive. And it was wonderful. I want you to call your master here. And about this point in the book, I was just like, a great test, though, is explosive. And he's in charge of it, and he has, like, alpha level security. And I started thinking, I was like, this is the part of the book where they just destroyed Alderaan. And I was like, okay. And then I started putting things together, and I was like, wait. He has alpha level security. He just ran a test, and it was explosive. And I was just like, no. So I pull up Wikipedia, because Wikipedia is the god of everything, and it's like partially run by Star Wars and everything. And I look up TK421, and I'm looking at his Wikipedia page, and I'm looking at it right now, and it says, okay, well, there's a superior officer became smitten over the trooper TK421, and they were having an affair together. Well, if you look on the page, superior officer is highlighted. And in the story, they never actually say who the Imperial officer is. But when I look at this, and it's highlighted over superior officer that he caught the attention of, and you click it, it's fucking Tarkin! Tarkin was having an affair with another male stormtrooper on the fucking Death Star!
You may fire when ready.
And I was just like, no! No!
Now let me say this, Hope. I don't know if this is actually a win for the LGBTQ community.
It's not, because he's the biggest space Nazi that has ever space Nazi. And I'm just like looking at the book. He's
pretty much a sort of genocide type of guy.
And I'm like looking at the book going, you made me have cute feelings for Tarkin. He was cute. How dare you?
It really would explain the way he acted towards Princess Leia. He seemed to really not like Princess Leia. You know what I'm saying?
Oh man, I was just like, when I found it, I was just like trying not to throw up. Because I was just like, no. No. You made me... Because they were adorable, and he was saying silly things to him, and they were silly together, and they were cute together, and they were adorable, and they were going to live on Coruscant together, and they had dreams, and hey, you made me feel things.
There's a movie out there called Even Hitler Had a Girlfriend.
So I was really upset, because I was really excited about gays in Star Wars that were actually canon. And then it didn't do anything, and it was Tarkin, and I was really upset.
What are you gonna do? I think we all knew. I think we all could tell.
Yeah, can I actually have, like, a real nice hero gay character in Star Wars? Meh.
Well, one day you will. One day you will.
Ugh.
They keep threatening to. You'll get one.
So upset. I was so, so upset. Ugh, everything hurts. The story was really well written. I don't want to, like, downplay that because Glenn Weldon, Weldon, the author who wrote it, it's a really good story and it's really well done. And so I don't want to say that the story was bad because it's not, because I certainly felt things for this character in both these characters and it made me feel things for Tarkin, goddammit, Glenn. But I was just, I was so shocked and surprised.
Well, he went
and
for
I was
a challenge,
like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, tell me about it. That was the biggest challenge of all.
You know, I mean, if you were going to do, like, a gay Obi-Wan story, you would be, like, risking sort of fanficky sort of thing. This probably, there probably aren't, although there are, I'm sure, there probably aren't that many Grand Moff Tarkin fanfic. You know, that's not the first
You'd
thing
You'd be surprised!
Of.
Let's look it up!
I'm sure it's out there. Oh, I know it's out there, but I don't think it's in the majority of the people that they have hooking up in Star Wars. And you probably don't want to read it.
Star Wars.
It probably leans towards the Ilsa She-Wolf of the SS type of story.
I'm looking it up right now. Okay, we're going to do all of our ratings. Characters. Character A. Tarkin. What's his first name? Wilfred? Well, Wilfred. Oh, that's probably under Tarkin. Tarkin. He's not on fanfiction.net? What?
There.
Oh, it might be under Grand Moff. This is fanfiction.net. We all know.
I mean,
there he is.
Couldn't you just use Tarkin? Yeah.
Archive of our own is so much better. Tarkin's only tagged in 44 fanfictions. I actually thought that would be a lot more.
Yeah, I didn't.
Though I will say,
Chewie.
The only thing is that I will say there are things of what's his name of a lady Tarkin, like a wife of his. So at least he's bisexual. At most he is gay and has a beard. Let's see.
Lady Tarkin sort of might be. Who knows if Lady Tarkin just maybe dresses up as Lady Tarkin. Maybe Lady Tarkin is just Grand Moff Tarkin, and every once in a while he dresses up as his female version, and he's so powerful that nobody, everybody just pretends that was Lady Tarkin.
Yes, Lady Tarkin.
Yeah. But that was, shut up, that's Lady Tarkin.
I'm checking one other thing. Other tags. Tarkin. So that was me checking, fanfiction.net. Now I'm checking Archive of Our Own has 44 works of Tarkin.
That's
and Archive of Our Own is so much better than fucking.
That's the same number on both, though.
44 and 444.
Oh, 444.
Let's read one. Let's see. Let's find a short one. We can read fanfiction on here. Should we? Should we not? We shouldn't.
This is a children-centric episode, Hope.
TK-421. Is there fan fiction? Oh, there's fan fiction slash fags. There's three of them. I think I accidentally just said fags. Sorry, everybody. I meant to say tags, and I accidentally said fags. I'm so sorry. Oh, there's three stories of them.
Of course there are.
There's one called Catharsis, and the summary says Tarkin just has to see the body.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, injury. Fleshly formed wounds are not the only things capable of being tender.
Oh, Jesus.
This one's called GIF. It was a rash sort of GIF, but truly a thoughtful one nonetheless, based on a short story. And also tagged as Loth Cats. Loth Kittens, to be exact.
Oh, Jesus.
Also, you can pry queer Tarkin from my cold, dead, rotting hands. That is one of the tags. I'm going to read all these later. I'm so excited.
Bookmark,
and
I
just want to
bookmark,
be clear,
bookmark.
Archive of Our Own is much better fanfiction than fanfiction.net. Let's be real. You have to be invited into Archive of Our Own to post or read. So if anybody wants an invite to really, really good fan fiction, hit me up and I'll send you an invite to Archive of Our Own, or AO3 for short. So to the episode, because Rebels comes on in 30 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
That was my story of what fucked me up from a certain point of view, fucked me up so bad for like 3 days. I've told everybody.
Getting you all hot and it's farkin' at the end.
Farkin'! Fucking farkin'! Farkin' fark. All right. Bound for Rescue?
Let's do it.
All right. Bound for Rescue is the 96th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on November 17, 2012. It was written by Christian Taylor and directed by Brian Callen O'Connell. Some extra information for you. Priego is voiced by Steven Stanton, who is the voice of Tarkin, fucking Tarkin, in Clone Wars and Rebels, and he's also Old Ben Kenobi from the Rebels episode Twin Sons. As part of the Animal Instincts tumbling troop, some of the younglings dress as creatures. Petra is dressed as a Gundark, Zat is dressed as a Rancor, and Gungi is dressed as a Narglak. Katooni and Biff are not dressed as animals. Katooni's outfit is inspired by the palace outfit that Willie Scott wears in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Biff is adorned with blossoms from the trees of Karlak, seen in the season 4 episode A Friend in Need. And finally, when Petra spots Priego's transport, he reads the sign out loud as Priego's Traveling World of Wonders. The sign on the ship actually reads Priego's Carnival in Huttese.
That's weird.
You can't read, child.
He's reading extra words.
I know. Maybe he's like trying to translate Huttese, and it translates differently in common. And
maybe
it could be something like that. Oh, Yoda, you'll be so happy. There's nothing referring to children in this week's platitude.
Yoda feels much safer this week.
Last week was scary for you.
Yeah. Yoda's afraid of getting visits after last week.
I don't know. Like, I can still see Windu watching you around the corner with his wet blanket prepared.
Yoda shows up, and Mace Windu is there. Says,
Are you saying the party
You think maybe you would like to have a seat? Tell Mace Windu why you came over with a 6-pack of wine coolers?
Are you saying that the party don't start until Mace walks in?
Party pretty much ends when Mace walks in.
Touché!
Over is the party when Wet Blanket walks in.
All Windu wants to do is party. What if that's his fetish? Like, wet blankets are his fetish. He's just like, yes, it's so cold and wet. I'm gonna warm up this blanket with my wet coldness.
Host of To Catch a Space Predator.
Alright, what's the platitude?
When we rescue others, we rescue ourselves in bed.
It works as a platitude.
I picture someone homeless up off the street.
Just not sure how it applies to the kids this time around.
They rescue Ahsoka. Don't think they. I mean, they sort of rescue themselves too.
The only thing I could kind of see is that, like, we see in the beginning that Katooni's lightsaber wasn't working, so I was waiting for her lightsaber to be like, "Putcha!"
Yeah.
But
yeah, that was weird.
If I remember correctly, I think that comes into play next week.
Chekhov's lightsaber. Another Chekhov's lightsaber.
Can you explain that to me? Because I was reading an article about Black Panther, and they were talking about Chekhov's waterfall. Like, when there's a waterfall there, you just know somebody's going to, like, go over it. And when I hear Chekhov, I think Star Trek, and
no.
I know that's not right.
No, it's the writer Chekhov.
Oh!
It's Chekhov's gun. He says if in a play you see a gun on the table in the first act, somebody's got to use that gun by the third act.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm a such a... It shows how much I paid attention in theater history, because I remember that now.
Or Star Trek.
I didn't realize that it was based on that Chekhov, because, like, we used to say that all the time in playwriting, which was, if you write a gun, it has to go off at some point. I just didn't realize that that was the exact phrase.
Yep. I'm not even sure if it's the same spelling as the Chekhov from Star Trek. I'll have to check off on that. Oh man.
Didn't he write the sea? Anton Chekhov. How did I misremember this?
He's a fairly important writer.
Yeah. Oh my God. The Seagull. I love the Seagull. I was the assistant stage manager for this fucking play.
I mean, Christ, the guy wrote Jonathan Livingston's Seagull.
How did I forget this? I was the fucking stage manager for this. You know what? I am a piece of shit. It's fine. I apparently did not pay attention in theater history class.
Fired.
This is why I'm not in theater anymore. I don't remember shit. Act 1.
It's the other way around. You're not remembering shit because you're not in the theater
actively
anymore.
Doing it. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I haven't done theater. Let's say I graduated in 2010. It's 2018. 8 years. That was the last time I did theater. I've written one play since then. It was a short story. It was a short 10-minute play, and it was fine. Act one.
Act uno.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis. Dun, dun, dun. Da, 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 da. We're now singing about the offspring. Anyway, Act 1. The last couple weeks, Ahsoka went on a field trip to take a group of younglings on an adventure called The Gathering. They climbed aboard the magic Old Republic school bus to go to Ilum. All the younglings successfully found their kyber crystals to make their lightsabers. On the trip home, they met David Tennant, were enamored by him, and became Doctor Who fans. A.K.A. David Tennant voiced a droid named Professor Hu Yang, who has been around since the Old Republic. Hu Yang has taught every Jedi from Yoda to Ahsoka how to make a lightsaber. Time to read what I copy and pasted from last week's notes, because Laura was not going to type them again. The kids consist of Katuni, who is a sensible one, Petro, who is overconfident and bragging, Biff, who is an Ithorian, who we call Biff, because his name is B-Y-P-H, but I write B-I-F-F, like Back to the Future Biff. Gnody is Rodian, who we call Sassy Star Eyes. And Zat is the tech guy, who we called Kid Fisto. And Gunji is the Wookiee, who I just make adorable baby Wookiee names for him. But Hondo and Naka, our residential favorite pirate, showed up willing to kill the kids and sell their kyber crystals for the most powerful thing in the galaxy. Money! In a fight that resulted in an awesome hallway flying scene, Ahsoka accidentally gets captured by the pirates, leaving the younglings and Hu Yang alone in a broken-ass ship in the middle of uncharted space. On to this week! The younglings successfully get in contact with Obi-Wan Kenobi. They're all like, "Please help us! We're alone and we're running out of fruit roll-ups!" Do kids still eat fruit roll-ups? Or are they, vegan fruit roll-ups now?
Were always vegan fruit roll-ups. I think fruit roll-ups are pretty much just fruit.
I don't know. My niece had all natural fruit roll-ups, and they were disgusting. I put one in my mouth, and I was like, "This is not a fruit roll-up. This is gross." Anyway, they tell Obi-Wan that Hondo got Ahsoka, and Obi-Wan's like, "Oh, he's going to try and give me a friendship bracelet. But don't worry, kids. I'll send Cody to come and get you." And Commander Cody is like, "Now I'm a babysitter. Great." And then Rex kicks in the door and goes, "Haha, that's what you get for not being around and having awesome story arcs like Umbara. Now I get all the cool missions and you're just a babysitter. 501st. And Rex slams the door and leaves. Obi-Wan tells the kids that Hondo would be an idiot to try and hurt Ahsoka. And the kids want to help Ahsoka since they're closer to Hondo's planet. And Obi-Wan uses his parent voice, saying, "Do not be heroes and get yourself killed. That's dumb. Stay put and leave this to the adults." Which means that the kids are totally gonna fuck all authority and go after Ahsoka anyway. Obi-Wan tells Cody that the kids are dangerously close to Florum, so Cody has got to go get the kids quickly before they can act. But Separatist cruisers pop out of nowhere surrounding Obi-Wan's ships. Cody and Obi-Wan can't go get the kids now. In their downtime waiting to be rescued, the kids work on making their lightsabers while R2-D2 repairs Professor Hu Yang. Biff, adorable Wookiee baby, and Petro finish their lightsabers, but Katuni can't get hers to light up. Petro says that the welcome party has forgotten all about them, so they should just go out and get Ahsoka themselves. And Biff and Gunji vote with him, but Katuni is against it. Sassy Star Eyes and Kid Fisto tells them that they have a massive problem. The ship is venting coolant, which will somehow make the ship explode if they don't land it. AKA, they need to do something to push the plot along. So Petro decides to land the ship on Florum and let the ship cool and rescue Ahsoka at the exact same time. What'd you think of Act 1, Krius?
It was pretty good. I have some plot points in here. Although I see two of our notes are almost word for word exactly the same. And my first one is, hey, I've not seen Commander Cody in a long time.
Yeah, I know. I kind of forgot for like half a second that he existed because we've been with Rex for so long.
Yeah, it's like Cody's the guy that they say for the movies. But I was sort of hoping it's like, oh, all right, maybe we'll get like an adventure with Cody and these kids where we get to learn more about him a la Rex, but maybe not.
I kind of wish they did do that. Like Cody got the ship before it got attacked. Because
to see how different
watching Cody
was from Rex.
Watching Cody with children would be fucking hilarious.
Yeah, he would be quite different from Rex. It would be very interesting.
And also, too, I think it'd be... I mean, we talked about the difference between Cody and Rex before is that they can't change Cody too much because of the movie. And that's why Rex has so much character development. But, I mean, part of what makes Clone Wars going into Episode 3 is so good is we've had all this time with the clones.
We could still get to know him. We don't need to, have a major, any kind of character development. We could just learn to know his character.
And it would be, like, so much, just knowing him a little bit would make it even more impactful when he has that turn with Order 66. Like, he doesn't have to go through an Umbara arc, but
seeing him,
like, one-on-one with children would just be so much fun.
We just need a couple to establish more of what his character is and how he's different from Rex, who's the one we know in the Clone Wars context.
And also, just to see Cody in the circus scene, where he'd be like, I'm at a circus. Yay.
Nothing to do with this, yeah.
Yeah, and like him like trying to like juggle, or even if they're like, the wonderful blaster shooting guy, and he's like shooting targets for them or something. That would have been so much fun. And even if Ahsoka, like after they get Ahsoka in Act 3, or if Ahsoka had a line of like, well, Rex would have done this, and Cody would just be like, well, I'm not Rex. There's so much they
might
kind of
actually try to like treat him a little like Rex, because he kind of looks like Rex and has the same similar, because he's a clone of Rex.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That would have just been so good.
My other note that's almost word for word with yours is I like Gunji's wood saber. I like the design of it a lot.
It's cool looking.
Yeah, and it's not like really made of wood. It just sort of has a wood sleeve over it, but that's cool too. I like it. All right, so my other two notes are all right. So Florum is where the pirates are hanging out, right?
Right.
And Florum, I mean, they sort of launched their attack from not that far from Florum because they're pirates and. I mean, they couldn't have been too far away from Florum because their ship was kind of messed up a little bit, probably after getting so roughly detached. So the kids escape by hitting the hyperspace, which, I mean, theoretically, where would that hyperspace be set but going home, or towards home? Or something like that. So why should they be anywhere near Florum, which should be very close to where that, did they just jump, a tiny little... by the way of, like, hyperspace works, you'd think they would sort of be very far away from Florum, sort of out of... That's how you get out of danger, is you end up, to the people who are chasing you at a random spot anywhere, billions of miles away. So... It's kind of a little stretch of the story that they come out of hyperspace near Florum. And my other note is, I think Obi-Wan's a little too confident that Hondo won't hurt Ahsoka.
Yeah.
He's a little too gung-ho. Not Hondo. And, he won't be too hard on Ahsoka. And she can deal. I mean, he's right that she can deal with him herself, but... I think he was being a little too. I think he would have been a little more angry that, like, you know, while Hondo's, you know, abducted a Jedi and Ahsoka at that, you'd think he would take that kind of personally. I mean, Obi-Wan is kind of a good Jedi, and maybe thinking of it from a less, but I would be like, oh no, that will not stand.
I'm looking at the Star Wars galaxy map because I'm trying to find where Florum is. Because I thought it was relatively close because they have a really nice map of all the planets, but now I can't find Florum, and that's even close to it. And I'm just like, where
and
is
where's Florum? Yoda in all this, right? Wouldn't Yoda...
Didn't they just leave him on the planet?
Right, wouldn't he be close by, you know, have Yoda step in on this?
They left him on the planet, to be real honest with you.
He could sort this out, like, real quick. Yeah, Yoda needs some alone time.
It's cold here,
He looks forward to every year when he gets, you know, that's where he keeps his porn stash, you know. He's like, finally, all gone. Breaks out a bag of potato chips.
I don't...
And it's on, baby.
I don't think... I think Florum is literally on the other side of the fucking galaxy, but I can't seem to find it on any Star Wars map. I can find, like, Ilum, and
well,
I can find, like...
basically, when... But basically, either way, when they went into hyperspace, they were coming out in the same place the pirates were going. It's just... It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Because I can't seem to find it on this... On any... Star Wars map, but yeah, I mean, I think Florum's literally on the other side of the fucking galaxy. To be real honest with you, because someone correct me in the comments, because I can't seem to find it quickly on a big-ass Star Wars map that has about 100 planets on it. So, anyway.
That's all my notes.
So, the only other note I have, and I understand why they did it, because there's just 22 minutes, so they only have so much time for everything. I just think it's a little bit too convenient that they either land on Florum or they explode in space. I just kind of would have rather seen the kids at least debate this. You know, like, should we, like, all six of them sit down, they're like, should we do this? And to kind of also figure out who's kind of the leader in this, because Petro is kind of like the self-proclaimed leader, but we've seen that Katooni is very sensible, and she has like a lot of her wits about her. And so I kind of would have liked to see them debate it a little bit, and them come to a consensus themselves. And even if not everybody is on board, it's something that, like, you know, someone gets outvoted and stuff. But again, like, I understand they only have 22 minutes to tell the story, so they were just like, we need this thing to move the plot along now.
And there's a bunch of that in this episode.
You know, and I'll say this in Act 3, I think we could have cut out a lot of the Obi-Wan Grievous stuff to give more to the kids. But, I mean, at the same time, I think if I remember from next week correctly, and I even say this in my Act 3 notes, I think there's a reason that Grievous is here. So I think it's like a next week thing of why... there's so much Obi-Wan Grievous set up. But I don't remember for sure because I haven't seen these episodes in like 2 years. So
yeah, I've got some stuff to say about that coming up.
Yeah, and I've only seen these episodes once, so I actually completely forgot about the circus. I was like, oh, we're at the circus now. Nice, cool. I forgot about that. Let's go. So I didn't leave an impact on me like other episodes in this season. It didn't leave an impact on me, the circus, so... Well, you ready for Act 2?
Sure.
All right, Act 2. And this is probably the shortest act I've ever written ever in my life.
Yeah, this is incredible.
Yep. On Florum, Hondo is covered in bitches and having a grand old party. Ahsoka whips out her own wet blanket and throws it on top of him, telling him that the pirates have to let her go. Hondo taunts her and doesn't give her a drink and laughs at her face. Ahsoka is calmly discussing with Hondo her situation. The Republic won't pay her ransom, and Dooku hates Hondo after Hondo held Dooku hostage back in Season 1. He has a more gross, bigger baddie out there who will pay for a female Jedi, so he doesn't really care. Meanwhile, Obi-Wan is in a space battle, and it's not going great. His ships are being overrun, and droids are boarding his ship. And who boards the ship first? General Grievous, so I know Chris is happy.
So Grievous, far.
Grievous clinks on board Obi-Wan's cruiser, and he's cackling and hacking up along. He grabs a clone trooper and holds him by the neck with his metal foot, baiting Obi-Wan. He crushes the clone trooper and fights with Obi-Wan. But Obi-Wan is quickly losing the battle and calls for everyone to abandon ship. The kids head to Florim and land on the planet. Sassy Star Eyes will stay on the ship since she's the only one that's had like 3 hours of flight simulator training. R2 will stay to finish putting together Professor Huyang. Nerdy Kid Fisto uses a scanner to locate a power source and they head towards it with no actual plan on how to save Ahsoka. But the kids spot a carnival ship roaming around the surface and Petro suddenly has an idea. They stop Priego's ship and claim to be acrobats wanting to join the circus. Priego is actually sort of a nice guy. He knows that the pirates are unforgiving and doesn't want the kids to get hurt. But the kids show off their Jedi parkour skills, and Priego's like, you know what? I could use some free child labor in my act. Let's go! What'd you think of Act 2?
It was pretty good. Should have been better because it has Grievy in it. And this is the thing. It's Grievy's in it, and... For once, Grievy gets to win.
Yay!
Which is a yay. But really, while I'm watching it, I'm like, we're spending our time on a lot of time in this show on a space battle that we really don't need. You know, the space battle was sort of there to be like, oh, we can't send Rex to rescue you. You know, it was like the thing to, that's keeping them distracted from sending any help. You know, we were just about to send help, but then we got attacked.
Mm-hmm.
All you need to do is go away from that and come back or whatever. But, you know, now we're seeing details of the battle and stuff, and it doesn't, and I'm watching it and I'm like, yeah, it doesn't seem to be really adding anything to the story at large. And it's all kind of stuff that we've seen before, you know, of you know, Grievous storming a ship you know, there's nothing really novel or new about it. So I just thought we were spending a lot of time on something that we really didn't need to see when there was something way more interesting going on, like a space circus. And
I will say that Grievous crushing the clone with his foot made a YouTube video of top 5 most brutal clone deaths.
Yeah, yeah. But
that was pretty brutal. He just like steps on the guy and crushes him.
Yeah, Obi-Wan does not like that either.
No.
But still, it's. I mean, it's a nice moment, but it's not like one of the standout Grievous moments for me.
Yeah.
And the only other note I have is somebody says I'm working on it, and you know, in talking about having a plan, and that's variations on that have been used all through Star Wars and Clone Wars. So I thought that was a nice little thing that it works into the, you know, and the whole I've got a bad feeling about this sort of thing. That's all I got for notes for part 2. I think that's the one I had the least amount of notes on.
Yeah, a lot of my notes are very minor for this. In the opening scene at the party where Hondo is talking with Ahsoka and Ahsoka's like, the Republic won't pay for me and stuff. I noticed that usually when we have these, like, party scenes and stuff, like, the music is fun, it has a cantina feel, and they're having a party, but the music's, like, weirdly super serious and dark, and it just felt like a weird choice for that
scene. Well, the Hondo's a little darker in this episode. It's a little more...
He's been darker this entire arc.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he knocked her out and was fondling, like, running his finger through her lips last episode, and now he's got her chained up.
And he was threatening to kill kids.
At him. So,
and
yeah.
He was threatening to kill kids last episode.
Yeah, so it's, yeah.
But I don't know, it's just like, I guess like for, like, ambience and like, you know, setting the scene, it was just like, you know, you're going through the party and the music's like,
I think they wanted to make it seem more threatening, you know, seem that they're going into a more threatening situation.
And I know it was probably like a choice, it was a choice that didn't work for me that time around. It was, I don't know. I even if I would have liked to, like, the opening, like when it's going through the party, having it being very like upbeat and stuff, and then like change into darker throughout the scene, and it's like more dark and ominous. I would have liked that more. I think that would have set the scene better. Like, oh, this is fun. And then you're just like, oh, this is not Hondo's normal party that we've seen in the past. This is a much darker scene.
Yeah, but the thing is, they're going to transition towards fun because the circus is going to come in. So you're going to end up with circus music. So I guess if you're going to contrast it...
What kind of parties do you go to where there's circus music?
The best parties. Clown parties.
Ugh. Okay. So as always, we love Hondo. And then I was like, and then I wrote, Chris, who are some of your favorite pirates in media? Go.
That's a hard one for me because I'm not a big pirate. I'm trying to think of like pirate movies that I've seen.
I was thinking about this because I wrote the question and I knew it would come back to me.
I've seen the first two Pirates of the Caribbean movies, but I don't remember anything about them except that I was like, ah, Johnny Depp was really good in those, and they were better written than they were better than I thought they were going to be. But you know? I don't think I've seen any of the classic pirate movies or anything. I mean, yeah, I don't know, you know.
Because I knew I would ask this. Like, you know, I first and foremost, I think of Pirates of the Caribbean, but Johnny Depp as a person has been really sullying those movies for me lately. But thinking back on it, Dustin Hoffman as Captain Hook and Hook.
Oh, that's a good one. I've seen that one. I can glom onto that one. Yeah, he was really good.
Actually, a fun little story. Him and the actor who played Smee.
Hoskins.
Yeah, they didn't tell the director because they knew the director would be against it. But they played Hook and Smee as a couple, and they didn't tell him until after they finished filming, and the director was pissed because he was like, I don't want gays in my movie, and they're like, too late, it's already filmed.
Well, you know who the director was? It's Steven Spielberg.
I know. He didn't want gays in his movie, so they didn't tell him that they were playing it with them as a couple. Also, some of my other favorite pirates, Muppet Treasure Island, where Tim Curry is Blackbeard.
I've never seen that, but that I would definitely love Tim Curry as an actor, so that sounds good.
Oh, it's a fun one. I mean, it's a Muppet movie, but it's a lot of fun. I got to give props to Colin O'Donoghue, because Lord knows I love Once Upon a Time. And what was the other one? I was thinking of another one that I really, really loved, the pirate in that movie. Even though it's like one of like Disney's like least great movies of all time, it's not very popular, but I'm a sucker for it. I really loved Treasure Planet, where
a lot of people have said really good things about that movie. Actually,
it wasn't very profitable, and it's probably usually low. And it's not. I will say, I'll be the first to admit, it's not the best Disney movie ever made. But I have a little tiny love for that movie. I really loved it a lot, and so I really, those are some of my favorite pirates, mostly just because I wanted to talk about Colin O'Donoghue and Hook. Man, Hook is such a great movie.
Yeah, it is. I don't think of it much of as a pirate movie. That's probably why I didn't think about it. Why it didn't come to mind.
Yeah. So I kind of had the thought and realization that all the baddies love Obi-Wan, and I'm using love as in like rivalry / bromance kind of thing, because like Maul obsesses over Obi-Wan. Grievous is like his Clone Wars rival. And Hondo is like, he's my best friend. So it's like evil bachelor for Obi-Wan, and he will give his rose to like the most evil one, and they're all trying to get Obi-Wan's rose in his rose ceremony. It's like evil bachelor.
I think it's just because Obi-Wan's one of the more even if he doesn't like or like, you know, like Hondo, he likes parts of Hondo. He appreciates parts of Hondo. Not so much maybe with Darth Maul, especially not with Darth Maul. But I think Obi-Wan is less of a just like kind of priggish, like stuck up dick like most Jedi. Or, you know, most Jedi, if they see Hondo, they'd be like, oh, you pirate scum, you know. And Obi-Wan's just like, hey, I don't like what you do, but, you know, whatever. He's always got that sort of like down to earth to him, so that's probably why they're more into him.
You know, now that I think
Darth
about
Maul,
it,
like, because of pure hatred, though. Darth Maul, they're just bound by pure must kill each other hatred.
You know, like, now that I think about it, a lot of the bad guys in Clone Wars are usually paired up against Obi-Wan, and I find that interesting that they're not paired up more against Anakin. Because isn't this mostly, like, a big downslide of Anakin becoming Vader in 6 seasons? And I wonder why they don't pair up Anakin more with people.
See, I don't know if it is. I think it is. I think they do add that to Anakin's character arc, but I really don't think Anakin is... I mean, Ahsoka is more of a main character in Clone Wars than Anakin is, to me. Even Obi-Wan feels more of a main character than Anakin, to me, in this. I mean, Anakin's in it quite a bit, but I don't feel... He's, like, a central character, but he feels like almost the least of all the central characters that figure into it, except for Padme.
You know, that's kind of interesting, because, like, in the first few seasons, it was very balanced. It was Obi-Wan, Anakin, and Ahsoka, and, like, it was the three of them. But I remember I don't remember which season, maybe it was the Mortis season, that, like, there was a lot of focus on Anakin, there was a lot of focus on Ahsoka, and then the first half of season 4, Obi-Wan was, like, missing in action for, like, 9 episodes.
And then Anakin would go missing in action on it, and... Yeah, and I think they had a certain amount of, like, that they wanted to take Anakin and I don't know, I think it's more towards the series, it's better for the series with, especially since it got this far and they can be confident with it, that it's almost more interesting to focus on Ahsoka and the characters that aren't in the movies as much. Seeing as how you developed them and people like them, you might as well try to make the show as much about them too, you know, more than anything else.
Yeah.
So I think as it goes on, they don't have to have, you know, people aren't going to go like, oh, Obi-Wan isn't in this episode. Why would I want to watch this? You know, I mean, certain amount of people are, but for the most part, you know, I mean, I remember when I watched the first movie and I was like, ooh, I do not like this Ahsoka character at all. She's, like, too young, doesn't make sense. She's too much of just, like, a cutesy cartoon character. And it doesn't work and whatever. And I was completely, well, I might have been right at the time. But they completely made her into the more compelling character for this show. So... Yeah, I would pay more attention to her and the Hondos and stuff like that than Obi-Wan and Anakin. And I would still use them, because then it's just like, oh, here they are, here's some recognizable characters. And the voice actors who do them are both very good, so...
Speaking of the voice actors, Timeless is back next month. Actually, by the time this episode comes out, it'll be out that month. Yay, Timeless is almost back. Yay. I'm so excited.
Okay. Never seen it.
Oh, it's so much fun. I'm very excited for Timeless to come back. So, it's one of my shows. I'm very, very, very excited about that. All right, so next note. I have to say, I really must admire Ahsoka. While talking to Hondo, she is just so level-headed. And she has every right to be, like, blow off her top and, like, be angry and pissed off. But she's not that character anymore.
Well, she also knows Hondo. You know?
Yeah.
Hondo is someone she's... And for her to, like... She probably knows if she's just, like, starts yelling at him and freaking out, he's gonna love that. You know what I mean? So she's trying not to give him what he wants. Although he does trick it out of her when he tricks her into trying to take a drink and, like, pulls the drink away from her. She seriously was like, ooh, I'm really thirsty. I could use a drink. And had enough of, like, yeah, I know this guy. He's really going to give me a drink for him to do that. So that was a neat little scene. That was kind of rude, but well written.
Rude.
Rude, but well-written. Just how I like it.
My next note. I just also like Hondo's line of, like, I don't know why Dooku hates me. I only kidnapped him and held him hostage.
Well, yeah, Dooku's Dooku's does things ideologically, whereas Hondo's all money, you know. So he does, you know, he doesn't hold any grudges unless you owe him money. And that, but then if, you know, it all evens out that if Hondo gets his money, it doesn't matter if you like shot down his grandmother's spaceship, he would still be like, well, you paid me for the spaceship, and yeah, 50,000 credits ain't bad for grandma, and she was really old, by the way. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's, I just love that one.
He's never gonna understand Dooku's motivations.
I just really liked that line. He was like, he was so mad at me. I don't know why. And I was just like, you
like
dumb
him.
Kid. We're gonna be friends one day, Obi-Wan. Don't tell Obi-Wan. He's my favorite friend. So, oh my god, I finally found Florum on this goddamn map. The Padawans literally did jump across the top side of the galaxy. They went across the top of the galaxy, but there's, like, no hyperspace lanes going from Ilum to, like, Florum, so there was nothing stopping them from running into
a
planet.
Well, that means Hondo and his guys had to also.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, now that I look at it, they really did jump across the galaxy. Anyway, back to my notes. So I've been, like, looking while we've been talking. I finally found Florum on this map. And finally, just, like, something I really like about Clone Wars just in general is we get to see so many different examples of various species that aren't the same. And the example we saw in this episode is Priego, the Dug. He's a Dug. And we've gotten to now see three different kinds of Dugs throughout the prequels and Clone Wars. Because first we saw Sebulba, who was just a slime ball in episode one. And then we saw the King of the Dugs, who was just such an asshole to the Zillow Beast in the Zillow Beast episode. But now we get this, like, Priego, and he's an artist, and he's just, like, wants to have entertainment.
He's just doing
and protect
his thing, yeah.
Yeah, and it's so great to be able to see so many types of species in Clone Wars. And another example is Dex the Diner Guy and General Krell. Those are the same species, but they're so different types of them. And same thing with Twi'leks. Like, we've seen Twi'leks aren't just slave people from the original trilogy. We've seen them as, like, rebel fighters. And, of course, Hera, we have Hera Syndulla, and she's a general in the rebellion. And so I just think that's just, like, something really cool about the television shows is we get to explore more of these various species that they can't always have time to explore in the movies. And I really like that about the show.
Yeah, me too. And that they have time to just, like, and I have a note after part three of that pertains to that, actually.
Yeah. But that's all I had for Act Two.
All right. Another short. This one's really short, too, now that I'm looking at it.
And the way I broke this up is I did the Grievous stuff first and then the Ahsoka stuff, and then when the kids showed up to the rest of the Ahsoka stuff. So I split it up into three parts.
Makes sense.
Alright, so Act 3. Grievous takes the bridge of Obi-Wan's ships, and Obi-Wan holoscapes him his defeat. But it's actually a pre-recorded message, and Obi-Wan wishes him well as the ship is about to self-destruct, and Obi-Wan is already safely in an escape pod. Grievous hops onto his ship and leaves behind some poor battle droids as Obi-Wan's ship explodes. Obi-Wan is sad that the younglings are all on their own now. The circus! Priego's ship arrives at Hondo's base, and the pirates are all excited. Hondo is carried out like a king to greet them. Also, apparently, Hondo cut off the heads of Priego's troop the last time they showed up again. So, why would Priego come back? But I guess that's not important. Hondo has Ahsoka's lightsabers on his belt, and Katooni will get them. Hondo rolls out Ahsoka to watch the show. The Padawans tumble out and start their little show. And Ahsoka's like, holy freaking shit, those are my kids, what are they doing, holy crap. And Hondo is just having so much fun. Though the kids do their little act and they invite Hondo to come join them, and Hondo is so drunk that he doesn't see Katooni get the lightsabers off his belt as the kids put him on a seesaw. Biff jumps off the carnival ship, throws a very happy Hondo into the air, and drops him into a pile of crates. And the pirates and Priego freak out while Katooni frees Ahsoka and the kids run. The pirates spot them and they start a shootout. Priego flees on his ship, giving Ahsoka and the kids enough cover from the dust being kicked up to steal a speeder. Hondo is a bit too drunk to follow giving orders for his men to find the Jedi. Ahsoka tells the kid that she could be angry at them, but she's actually proud of their bravery and for saving her. Petro said they disobeyed orders, and Ahsoka's like, "Well, welcome to the Anakin Skywalker classes of being a Jedi." The end.
Well, I thought this part was a little more fun than the two parts. This was sort of, I would have liked the whole episode to sort of be in this. I would have loved them maybe to like have, instead of the space battle, have them live in circus life for a day or two as they traveled or whatever. But anyway, here's my notes. I have a little bit of a Greevy gripe, and I'm working against my own better interests and knowing that Greevy lives. But still, if you're Obi-Wan and you leave us and you space Skype Greevy, why for do you tell him that the ship is going to blow up? You do not tell Greevy that the ship blows up. He's just going to do what he did and do a George Costanza and run over everybody else to get into the ship. You tell him something like, well, you know, we got half of the important data off the memory banks, so you're not going to get that, ha ha ha. And then Grievous will go, what, the other half's in the memory banks? And then he'll go and look, and he'll get blown up. And then you get
because he has to live until episode 3.
Right, it's all plot contrivance. So that I found that a little bit ridiculous. And my only other notes is what you're saying about different kinds. There's a Gamorrean guard clown, and I thought that was really funny, and sort of what a Gamorrean clown would be. And I like that he's just sort of looking on like, oh shit. And I really like the design of that big bulky speeder that they steal.
Mm.
I like that. I like that speeder. We saw something sort of like that in outtake. They didn't make it into the final Force Awakens, but there's some outtakes of a big bulky snow speeder that's very similar to that in the Force Awakens.
I'm gonna tell you of one of my favorite gifts that I ever saw that answers your question of why Obi-Wan says it. It's a two-part gift set, and it's from Harry Potter, and Voldemort is holding Harry, and he's like, "Why do you still live?" And Harry looks at him and goes, "Because I'm the fucking main character, bitch!"
Because my name's on the cover of every book, dummy.
And that's what this is. It's like, it's why does
Voldemort
Grievous live?
Because he's in sucker.
Episode 3.
It's not Voldy Potter in the Deathly Hallows.
But that's what this is. It's like, why does Grievous live? Why does Obi-Wan tell Grievous? Because he's
in
episode 3.
Well, yeah,
he's got
to live. They could have just found a different way to do it. That was just bad, you know. Obi-Wan, every Jedi wants Grievous dead.
They could have done something as simple as, like, Obi-Wan tells him his message and one of the battle droids goes, "Sir, it looks like the things are overheating," or something.
Right, you know. Yeah, beep, 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 beep. And, you know, he's stalling me, and then he runs away, you know. What Obi-Wan should have done is just kept talking, you know, just kept talking. "So, how are things? Have you gotten a new pet?" You know? "Sorry to hear about your pet. Pets are innocent and
I'm sure Gore is lovely. Tell me about Gore. Does it still hurt, Grievous? Does it still hurt you that Gore is dead?" "Yes, it hurts every day, Obi-Wan. Rest in peace, Gore."
Yep. But that's all I had.
So, I had a laugh at Obi-Wan's line when he was all like, "I guess the younglings are on their own." And I'm sitting here going, you're sitting in an escape pod with no weapons or hyperspace with three Separatist cruisers like 100 yards away from you, and you're worried about younglings right now? What the fuck, Obi-Wan? They're right there. They're going to kill you.
Obi-Wan's
Don't worry
not a worrier. He's not a worrier at all.
I just had that moment. I was just like, "Ah, you got, why are you care? Like, fear for your own lives. There's three Separatist cruisers right there."
He's just going with the flow of the living force, man. He's got no fears.
Then have Cody go, "Sir, I think we have bigger concerns. Look out the window." And then Obi-Wan can go, "Well, you should have just went with the younglings." And Cody's like, "I know, I could be at the circus right now, sir."
Exactly.
God. Have you ever seen A Bug's Life?
Yes.
The last act is A Bug's Life.
Is it? I don't remember too much about it.
Okay, I'm gonna set this up. If you've never seen A Bug's Life is a movie about a little ant named Flick, and his ant hill is held in terror hostage over a group of grasshoppers, and the Flick is an inventor, and he keeps getting in the way. So the princess and the queen send him away to find warrior bugs, and it's just something to get Flick out of the way. But what he ends up doing is he accidentally stumbles on some circus bugs. But he thinks that they're warriors because he sees them in a bar fight and he thinks that they're warrior bugs. And so he brings the circus bugs back, and the circus bugs thinks that they're just putting on a show for their friends, the grasshoppers. And then they realize, oh, you want us to fight your war for you. We can't do that. Well, they make up this elaborate plan when the grasshoppers actually come along, and the circus bugs put on a show why they sneak away the queen and the princess to save their lives. It's A Bug's Life. This episode is A Bug's Life in a nutshell, because the kids are putting on a show to free Ahsoka. It's A Bug's Life.
Well, that's a trope, though, to be fair.
That's all I was thinking. I was just waiting for it to be like, one of the Hondo's pirates to like quote one of the grasshoppers and go, the circus, I love the circus. Like, I was just waiting for it. One thing I noted, it was really fast. When the carnival actually shows up at Hondo's place, there's a couple of Togrutas there, and these are the same race as Ahsoka. And they have convaries on their shoulders,
I
those little birds.
I did not notice that.
Yeah, I saw, I had to pause it, and I went back, and there's been a couple times we've saw birds that look similar to convaries, and I actually looked it up on Wikipedia, and it's confirmed that they're convaries. And then I noticed, this is just another example of these birds and Ahsoka being in the same episodes together, and convaries have only been in 4 episodes of Clone Wars and Rebels combined, and all 4 episodes are Ahsoka episodes, where she's in it by herself. And I thought that was very interesting, is that we get another look at convaries and there's Ahsoka, and it's only when Ahsoka is there.
Totally miss that.
They're walking in front of the ship, and it was so fast that I had to pause and go back, and I was like, did I just see that right? And I looked at it, and I was like, oh my God, convaries! Cool, Converse. So something I like about this arc, and this arc as a whole so far, is they keep kind of turning these tropes on their heads a little bit. Because we see Petro start out the arc being confident and boasting, Katuni is being thoughtful and calm and like trying to think things through. But something that they've done the last few episodes is they've shown like the pros and cons of both of those views. Because Katuni isn't wrong for wanting to follow orders from Obi-Wan and to like to stay safe and wait for help. But Petro, usually when someone's overconfident in media like Petro, it's a bad thing. But Petro uses it very correctly, because, I mean, we talked about how last week, like, him keeping the Kyber Crystal would have been turned against him, but in Clone Wars, it ended up saving the day. And I also just want to note, Petro never boasted about that victory either, which was really nice for him. And so in this episode, Petro is the confident one, and he is the one taking charge, and he is the one defying orders, but the kids would have exploded in space, and they wouldn't have been able to save Ahsoka either if Petro hadn't taken charge in those moments because of his confidence. He was so sure that they could do this that he led them to victory. And it's nice because usually in a lot of media, especially kids' media, that would have been used against him.
Right, right. They already did sort of in the last 2 episodes, so now I guess this is showing that, the good side of that, you know. They already showed the downside of it in the last 2.
And I find it also kind of interesting is Katuni, who started off so strong in the first episode, because she's so careful, she's starting to take a back seat in everything. And it's interesting to watch those two like switch their positions of power in this arc as well. Because you would just think that Katuni would be the leader the entire time because she's so calm and thoughtful and thinks things through. And it's Petro's actually rising through the ranks. And then I just really like how they turn that on its head a little bit. Or I shouldn't say turn it on its head. They're just showcasing it in a different way to where it's positive and not negative.
Yeah, they're showing just a different aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. So here's another example of me writing a note. Because, like, you know, I write notes as they come up in the episode. And then something happens, and I was just like, nope, never mind.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Because I wrote, I wonder if Priego is in on the kids' plans, because he just kind of lets the kids, like, take Hondo, and he encourages Hondo's to come up, and Priego's Twi'lek helpers pull Hondo into the act, and I was
he's
like, oh,
showbiz, man. They're improving. He's like, go with this.
Yeah.
These kids
and
are
so
dynamite,
like,
you know?
I was like, oh, I wonder if Priego's in on this. And then when Hondo gets thrown into the dumpster, he's clearly scared, and he was just like, nope, nothing to do with this.
This
bye.
did not go the way I thought it was. It looked like it was going good. But yeah, no, he was just rolling with it. He was just like, he's thought he'd just like stumbled into a showcase, you know?
Yeah. Hondo drunkenly screaming, I'm flying! It's just wonderful.
Well, I like how he just arches his back like he's on a diving board. He's just like, it's Hondo. He's fully embracing the moment, you know?
He's on the front of the Titanic going, I'm flying, Jack, I'm flying!
He is totally, that pose is totally, he's actually posed like, you know, the mermaids they stick on the front. I can't remember what the names of them are, but you know, the mermaids or women that they would have on the front of ships in the old days.
Yeah, but it's so wonderful. I just love that movie. I'm looking this up. I'm like Googling the figurehead.
Figurehead, yes.
I'm all Googling tonight. I'm a Googler. So I have to say one thing, because I really loved him so much last week's episode, and he was actually the majority of my notes last week's episode. Really bummed that Hu Ying didn't say anything or do anything this episode. Really bummed by that.
He's an expensive voice. They might have only been like, you know, got him for two episodes or a certain amount of time, so.
Yeah. I know, I loved the character so much last week that I was just like, every time I saw him in the background, I was waiting for him to talk or to say something or even to be like, children, don't do that, brr. And I just, I was really bummed because I really liked Hu Yang so much last episode. I kind of said this last time around, earlier in the episode, I'm just not sure how much of the Obi-Wan Grievous stuff we needed when we could have trimmed a lot of it and given it to the kids.
I'm in total agreement with you. I think it should have been like, all right, Cody, you're going to help the kids. Oh no, we're being attacked. Psh, psh, kids, we can't send Cody. That's it. You know, we could have come back and had Obi-Wan in his escape pod with Cody and just like, well, that didn't go well. You know, that's all we needed to know. There's nothing really revealed in that other than just sort of a fight that's not really anything spectacular. You know, last time, like, you had the action sequence was something we haven't seen really too much. We've seen it in variations of it, but this was different with, you know, people flying all through the ship as, you know, the atmosphere got blown out but not sucked out, and but this one it's pretty much just sort of your straightforward clone battle spaceship, you know, fight on a spaceship sort of thing. It's nothing that we haven't seen before. It still looks good and stuff, but it doesn't really have much to do with the story other than it keeps Cody from going there, so far as we know, so far in the context of just this episode as we know it. So yeah, I was getting frustrated with that because I did not, even though I love my Grievy, you know, I love my Grievy, I wanted to see the story with the kids was more compelling and was the main story, and was where it was at, man. That's what I would have definitely loved to seen the whole. I would have loved to have seen the third act been about the same, and the first two acts been more lead up with the kids going towards that.
I mean, yeah, I mean, really just needed the beginning and the end. I mean, what could they have done with the extra time with the kids? I guess, like, maybe, well, I did say in the first act, I would have rather to see the kids debate it out and do it that way, but I could have also really liked to see maybe, like, I guess a little bit more of Ahsoka. Ahsoka really took the back seat in this episode. Like, maybe, like, her...
I have a feeling these are a bunch of maybe preliminary story ideas or scripts for that series you were talking about featuring these kids that they reworked to work into Clone Wars. So might as well use these and make them into an arc, and we'll write in some of, you know, we'll write in some Clone Wars stuff around them to fit them in.
Yeah. But that's all I have for this episode.
Oh, are we ready to score it up?
Yep, I am.
I've actually dipped down this week. I'm down to a 7. It was a good one. I enjoyed it, but I could have enjoyed it a lot more. I docked it because of all the plot contrivances and because of the unnecessary space battle. If it had been more of the good stuff, this one could have been like an easy 8.5. As it was, it's a good kind of one and done, although not one and done, but it's a nice little self-contained sort of story.
Yeah.
And fun.
That's pretty much what I said. I said this episode is a fun little romp. I felt like it was about the same level as the first episode of the story arc. John Kondo is wonderful. Love him so much. And I do like seeing them turn some of these like little media tropes, like Petro's overconfidence, on its ear a bit. And Obi-Wan and Grievous fight is cool, but it's like you said, it's a lot of the same old, same old. And I liked last week's episode better because it had really cool stuff with like Professor Huyang in it.
Yes.
So I gave it the same score that I gave episode one of this arc, which is a 7 out of 10.
Yeah,
which is my
really. They could have had. Instead of all the space battle with Grievous stuff, they could have had stuff with Huyang's head talking to him, you know?
Yeah, and as had they repaired him. Like,
that would have been really good too.
They could have been like, "Oh, don't do that because it's, you know, it's bad or something." So yeah, there was a lot more they could have done about it. All right, well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, on the Two True Freaks Facebook page, especially on iTunes, because when you rate and review the show on iTunes, it helps people find the show. So I know a lot of you guys listen at Two True Freaks, but if you, you know, take a break from the Two True Freaks website, go to iTunes and write us a review so people can find the show more. This week, our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page of our episode, Revival. Take it away, Chris.
Reverber.
There was actually a lot more to comments on this, but they were all referring to like a picture, and I had no idea the reference of what it was, so I just left it out.
And my brain is like on a 10-year-old meme, because at work we have Grubhub. We deliver food through Grubhub.
Mm-hmm.
But now all of a sudden, whenever I hear Grubhub, my brain wants to go, Ermagerd. Gerbherb. So every time a Grubhub order comes in, I think Gerbherb. Ermagerd, Gerbherb. Anyway, Paul C. Kelly on Reverver says, Hondo and his pirates versus Maul Savage is a classic. It's sometimes better not to know a lot about who you're fighting against. When I first saw Hondo, I thought I recognized the character he was based off of, and I just researched it. Found out I was right. Pajetti Rook was in Return of the Jedi. He did not get any lines, but I had his action figure as a kid. I remember that. I don't remember you having it, but I remember that action figure. I didn't know you as a kid. And if I was hanging out with you as a kid, it would have been really strange because I would have been significantly older than you. I would have been... Yeah, it would have been creepy.
It would have been like Yoda in the past few weeks of the Platitudes.
Yeah, I would have felt all Yoda'd out, and it would have been really creepy. Anyway, I have this good feeling Hondo could show up in Han Solo, a Star Wars story. Now that would be awesome.
That would be awesome. Voiced by Jim Cummings.
That would be a scene in the movie theater when Hope sees that. That I could just hear Hope in the movie theater just like, bah! Wah!
Oh, I'm already planning on going to Solo with, like, making it a girls' night with my friends Paige and Alicia. And these are the two girls that have, like, seen Clone Wars. And we were explaining to the boys who Saw Gerrera was after Rogue One. Like, we've already planned girls' night. No boys allowed.
Anyway, and as he says, I think that it would be a great movie to give him big screen time, just as Hope said Cad Bane should be in Boba Fett. I think Cad Bane and Hondo should be in Han Solo and Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm.
Hondo made this episode better for me as well. Maul, that is now well spoken, does not match up for me with the quiet Maul from The Phantom Menace. Yeah, he could be like one of those, you know, quiet kids that after after a certain time, you can't shut him up, I guess.
After getting cut in half, he just won't shut up.
Yeah, exactly. I guess in his isolation, he could have been practicing, but Silent Maul would probably be boring. I don't know about that. He could be, he's very threatening, you know. He could have, I mean, it's Silent Clint Eastwood isn't very boring, isn't necessarily boring.
You know, talking about that, like, in the Darth Maul comics, he's really quiet in that, but we're in his head a lot because it's in his POV.
Right.
And it's really interesting because we're in his head.
So, Hope.
Do you want to do the Wunderbar? Because I pulled it out and it's small.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't agree upon this ahead of time.
So, I pulled out a Wunderbar, which is from Germany. Wunderbar.
It's still, it says in English on it, a magic peanut and caramel cream experience.
So, if you're wondering what we're doing, Chris hates American Kit Kats. So, our friend Dario sends us candy from all over the world to review because he's a flight attendant, and Dario is also Chris's co-podcaster for Eat and Beat It. And so this week we're doing, oh, it smells so good, the Wunderbar from Germany. Mmm. Oh, it's chewier than I thought it was going to be.
I think it feels chewy. It feels mushy and chewy. It's another It's another turd-shaped bar. Mine's
there's just enough
mushed
in there.
Mmm. Oh, that's good.
It tastes like it has peanuts in it, and that's the crunch. But no, it tastes like it has like the Rice Krispie
there's
things
something,
in it.
Yeah, there's some. I mean, there's a crunch to it, but it's crunchier than peanuts. You know, peanuts are a different kind of crunch.
Mmm.
But it's just like little pieces. But I don't see any Rice Krispies, but I sure taste something.
I wonder if it's like the crispy peanut crispy things that sometimes they have. Mmm.
Maybe, I don't know. They're very light. They're almost somewhere between the feel of like a little piece of toffee and a Rice Krispie treat.
Mm-hmm. It's just chewy enough to barely stick to my teeth, so mm-hmm. I can lick it off. Mmm.
Mmm.
Mmm. That's delicious.
It's really good. It's like a...
It was a Wunderbar.
It's kind of like a Snickers with that extra crunch to it.
I think it's a little chewier than a Snickers.
It is.
Just a little bit.
It's more caramelly than nougaty.
Mm-hmm. Mmm. Well, as always, thank you, Dario. We love you.
Hit it out of the park this week. Last week's is really good, too.
Yeah, they've been all so good. We haven't had one so far in this box that I haven't liked.
We haven't had a clunker in a little while, yeah.
Not one where I had to actually get up and go get a mint. Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. Our massively huge podcast. I'm going to say it again. I said it a couple months ago. We're looking to revamp our podcast. We made it like 8 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago.
Our website, not our podcast.
Our website, yes. The person who made it did, I think, a fantastic job. But in those 8 years, we have grown in a way that we never really thought that we were going to when we first made that website. From just a handful of podcasts, now we have like 30 on there. So we've decided to break down, and we'll actually pay somebody who knows how to do this. If there's somebody out there, you know, who this is... It doesn't have to be your job, but, you know, instead of saying, hey, let's get somebody to do this for experience, someone who's done this a few times and knows their way around it, we want to make it a little more user-friendly for the amount of podcasts we have, and we want to add a blog to it. We want to have our podcasters start a blog, and so if there's anybody who has that skill set, get a hold of us. You can take a look at the website at twotruefreaks.com and all our podcasts there. And if you want to get a hold of me, you could probably, the best way to do it is come to our Facebook page at Two True Freaks on Facebook or the Two True Freaks Cantina. Or you could get a hold of Gene, the podcasting machine.
Gene.
Zsa Zsa Gene. And he takes care of our Twitter at Two True Freaks at Twitter, and yeah. And in the meantime, if you're just curious about our websites, you can go to all those places, or all our podcasts. You can go to I'm dyslexicing podcasts and websites today, but you can go to all those places if you're a web designer or just wanting to listen. And where can they find you, Hope?
You can find me at JS and Jedi. I run our Twitter account, and you can also find me on Twitter at Hope Mullinex. I'm also the news writer for whatthefangirl.com, and last week I wrote a post, actually about 5 days ago, about how they're making, Titan Comics is making a comic for the 13th Doctor, but they're having an all-female creative team to head up, you know, the comic for the first female Doctor, which was, like, really cool to me. So, yeah, check us out over at whatthefangirl.com, and I'm going to be... We're talking about the future of the website and what to do next with it and how to expand that as well, so go check us out. Okay, I gotta go watch Rebels, and I gotta pee, bye.
Ba-dum-ba-ba-dum-bum, pee.
Pee, pee. Ba-dum-ba-ba-dum-ba, pee. Sorry, I know I threw that one at you at the end.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.